Praise the Lord. Welcome all of you. It's good to have all of you here today. Praise the Lord. We're grateful. My wife has a testimony she wants to share. I'm going to let her share hers first.
I actually have two testimonies.
Oh, okay.
Thursday was a remarkable day. We were watching a movie about, it was about 11 o'clock, and I heard Scott leave to go, my son, to go to home. He was working. And I heard his truck start, and then I heard his truck stop. And I said, oh my gosh, I wonder if something's wrong with Scott's truck. And so in a minute, my phone rings, and he says, Mom, got to come out here. So we go out there. Thurman's got his light. He's out there with his light, and he's got a light, and he's got his hood raised, and inside is a little kitty cat. During that day, the Rosenfeld children had told me they heard a kitty cat mewing in the bushes, but no one ever saw it. And so here's this little kitty cat, and Thurman reaches in there and pulls his head out of the fan, and he goes, you know, he was not a nice kitty, he was a wild kitty. And he gently pulls him out and pulls the legs out, and that kitty jumped out of his hand, jumped off and ran off. Praise the Lord, the kitty was not cut up.
Amen, praise the Lord.
So that was remarkable. Okay. All right, so here's the biggie. 6 months ago, a real good friend of mine from I went junior high and high school with is sick with uterus cancer. This is the friend that when Thurman and I got engaged, that day I was out with her ministering to her because her husband had died of cancer, and it was like the year anniversary, and we were having dinner. And she asked me that day, she said, have you ever thought about being in ministry? And I said, well, yes, I have. And I kind of was laughing to myself because she doesn't know that the Lord had already given me the dream to marry Thurman and everything. So it was just kind of funny. But so I call her and I say, well, you know, uterus cancer has to do with unforgiveness towards husband, children, or mother. And she said, well, I do have some unforgiveness. And I knew it because he was her high school sweetheart. They got married. He went to Vietnam. When he came back, he was changed, messed up, and they got a divorce. And then later he married and had two sons. And then 15 or 20 years later, they got back together. So she remarried her high school sweetheart. Well, these two sons, through his death and the inheritance, she got the business. But he didn't tell them all the debt he had. And they lived very high on the hog. All the insurance that the children thought they were going to get, they didn't get it because it went to pay off all the debt of the business. And so they came against her and got an attorney and tried to break the will and the business. And just, you know, it was a lot of stuff. And she was heartbroken over it. And we had talked many times about that. So there was her unforgiveness against the children and her unforgiveness against the husband for not telling them the truth either. Okay, so we got the unforgiveness out of the way. And I said, I understand you're seeing someone. She said, yes. And I said, well, I'm going to assume you're sleeping with him. And I said, you know, God judges every act of sexual immorality. And that also has to do with a female cancer. If you're having sex out of wedlock, you know, that's adultery or fornication. I mean, God's going to judge you. And so she didn't like what I had to say. So when we hung up, I said, well, we'll try to get to, you know, together for dinner, whatever. I emailed her once. She never emailed me back. So I knew she wasn't happy with me. 6 months go by, and all this time, I'm going to the throne of grace, I'm going to the third heaven, and I'm petitioning the Lord for this woman that I love her, and I don't want to see her go to hell, because at this point, this is where she's headed. Anyway, I started petitioning the Lord. I asked for several things. One, I remitted all her sins, his sins, according to John 20:23. I also asked the Lord, according to Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the Lord's hands, and he moves it whithersoever he wants, like rivers of water. So I put their hearts in his hands so it would move them together so they would get married. And then I also cursed the cancer, commanded to leave. I video edited out all the bad memories of all the unforgiveness with the children and the husband. And I kept and I kept and I kept and I kept going to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I need mercy for my friend. I need mercy for my friend. And I just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on. Well, Thursday, I had lunch with my daughter, Christy, again. And she had seen the mutual friend. And the mutual friend said, oh, good news. She got married and the cancer's in remission. So all the way home from the lunch, I am praising God and thanking him for saving my friend and healing my friend. And I call her and I talk to her just briefly because they had a neighborhood party or something but that was in their home. And so she said, you know, I want to call you back because there's a lot of things I want to talk to you about. And I knew that. And so I said, no problem. Just call me whenever. So I just kept praising the Lord. Well, that night, I was laying there praising the Lord and just, crying out to Him. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that You saved my friend and that You healed her and she's not going to hell. And it just, I'm so grateful. And He said, I heard your plea. I was like, oh God, you know, thank You so much for hearing me, and thank You so much for saving my friend that I just wouldn't let up. You know, I just stayed on his door, knocking on his door, and just praising Him and thanking Him for saving her and healing her, and that's what He did.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come up here, girl. You got a testimony. This girl, she wrote me an email the other day, and she said, somebody stole my GPS out of my car sitting in my driveway, but she said, that devil's going to bring it back. And now she's going to tell you the story. Go ahead.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, I went home late on Thursday, and I didn't lock my doors. Somebody came in and stole the GPS out of my car. Friday comes along, I call the police. They made a report, and everybody keeps telling me, you should have locked your doors. You should have locked your doors. You know, they have them on sale at all these places. So I'm looking on eBay, and all of a sudden I put my computer down. I said, devil, you're a liar. It's not against the law to leave my car unlocked, and it's not a sin. So you have to bring that back. I'm a child of the King, the Most High God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Great I Am, and you can't steal my stuff. So you bring it back. And I said, Lord, your word says in Psalms 103:20, the angels hearken to your voice. Send angels to help those police find my GPS. And by the way, I want it back next week. I came home on Wednesday night. I called them Thursday. I found this little number on the box. I called the detective, and I read off the first four numbers, and he read off the second four, and he goes, we got it. I said, I knew you would.
Went down there and got your GPS.
I got it back. Yes.
Oh, goodness gracious. God's in the saving business. He's in the delivering business. He's in all kinds of business. We do serve an awesome Jesus, folks. He's just way beyond my ability to comprehend how magnificent He is. But you know, the way I learned about this God is reading His Word. That's where I've learned everything I've learned about God is reading His Word. Now, I will have to say, many years ago, when I first got started, I would read other people's books. And I did that for a few years, you know, and then I thought one day, I wonder how this man learned these things about God. He obviously read the Word himself. So I thought, okay, Lord, I'm laying all books aside except one, the Word of God. I'm going to start reading the Word of God, and whatever it says, I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe You meant everything You said in Your Word. And then, Lord, I'm asking You, just like the book says, I'm going to dig in this book like I'm going to dig for silver and gold. Just like Cheryl, as she told you how she prayed for this woman. Now, what if this hadn't been her friend? What if she had not have prayed and stayed on God's doorstep? What if she'd not remitted that woman's sins? That woman, because she was living with a man she wasn't married to, that woman's on the way to hell. The Word of God clearly says that adulterers and fornicators shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so here is a woman that stood in the gap for a woman she loved because she loved her, and now then she's changed that woman's life, and she's married, and now then the cancer's in remission, and all kinds of things are changed, and it's all because she had the staying power to say it. There's another one right over there that had the staying power to say with it, Satan, you have no claim to me. I don't care. It's not a sin just because I left my car unlocked. It is not against the law. And so you have no legal authority to steal my GPS. So I am demanding you bring it back in Jesus' name. And he did. Where do you think she learned that? In the Word of God. That's exactly right. She learned it reading the Word of God. It's in the Word. And she knows, just like Cheryl, she knew that she could remit this woman's sin. See, these two girls, these two women here have learned the principles of the kingdom. Amen. And the King has given these girls the keys of the kingdom. And they were using their keys. And they did it to change a person's life, to get a GPS back. There is no limitations what you can do with those keys. Amen. But we as the church today have virtually given up on these kind of things. We're not walking in obedience to His Word. We're not in the Word. In fact, I had three ladies here this last week that one of them was sick. One of the ladies that was here had a breast cancer way back in 95. And she had a bout with it. And of course, she was a Baptist. And she went to church and she had read the Word. And she knew that James 5, 14, 15, and 16 was in the Word of God that says that you can call the elders and have them anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. And the Lord will heal you. He will raise you up. She knew all that. She was anointed with oil. And she finally went got it in remission. Took a long time. But she was kind of in remission for 10 years or whatever it was, 15 years. And then just recently it's come back. And this time it come back with a vengeance. And she's been anointed with oil and prayed over again. And then somebody told her about me, so they brought her from Waco to me this week. Well, they wanted me to meet with her, so these three ladies came. And I sat there with them, and when she told me her whole story about how she'd been anointed with oil, and then she said, but I got healed that time, but she said, I've been anointed with oil this time, and said, I don't appear to be getting well. It's in stage four. So she said, why did I not get healed? I said, ma'am, it's real simple. You didn't believe. She said, what do you mean? I said, well, when you had your breast cancer the first time, when you went to the church and you were anointed with oil, I said, what did you tell me you done after this? She said, well, I went back and took all these chemo treatments and radiation. I said, see, ma'am, you didn't believe. You didn't believe at all. I said, if you'd have believed God's going to heal you, you'd have told them doctors and them $20,000 or $30,000 chemo treatment. Do you know that chemo treatments cost from $20,000 to $30,000 a treatment? Now, if you have 10 of those, that's only, you know, $250,000. So, you know, so what's $250,000 between friends, right? You know, so, but see, whenever most people say, but Thurman, that's what God made doctors for. No, I totally disagree with that. God made doctors because we're so dumb. You know, He didn't make doctors to take His place. I mean, we had a Dr. Luke back there, but you show me one case where Jesus called on Luke to help him. Did Jesus need Dr. Luke? No, He didn't need Dr. Luke nowhere. Jesus never confided in nobody except Himself and His Heavenly Father. And Jesus, everywhere He tells us what He will do, He never says we need anything but Him and His name. That's all we need. But we don't believe. So I told this lady here, now she got stage four cancer. I told her, I said, you repent of your sins of unbelief. And I said, I'm going to pray for you. And if you will promise me and God that you will not go back to a doctor for no reason, but you'll just trust God, I said, I guarantee you He'll heal you this time and it will never come back. She says, how can you have that kind of faith? I said, because I study God's Word. She said, you know, but this is my life. I said, let me tell you a story about how I stood for my granddaughter when she was technically killed in a car wreck. I know many of you have heard that story, so I'm only going to tell this one little part. The little part about the flapper valve in Caitlin's throat. I mean, for a year, I fed her. When I left the hospital down there, they put a plug in her tummy and told me the flapper valve in her throat does not work, so I cannot feed her anything at all with the food or drink or anything by mouth, or it'll run into her lungs and kill her. So it's not, the flapper valve is not working. And so I said, that's no problem. I have a verse, and this verse is Mark 11:24. I want you to see this. So look at what Mark 11:24. Therefore, Jesus is speaking, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you might have them. That's the way we read it. I mean, that's the way we read it. But is that the way it's written?
No.
What did He guarantee?
No.
You shall have it. Is that what He said?
Yeah.
So can Jesus lie to us?
No.
No, He cannot lie to us. But if He said we have to believe, that means you have to believe. He's not going to share His glory. And so, of course, I knew that back in the 10 years ago when I was praying for Caitlin. And I prayed for Mark 11:24 for her valve to be fixed. So the doctor says, bring her back in 2 months and we'll check it. So I said, okay. So I prayed believing it was done, I thought. I mean, I really believed it was done. But I didn't feed her except through that plug in her stomach. At the end of the 2 months, I took her back down to Cook's Medical Center and they checked the valve. And the doctor said, I'm sorry, sir, it doesn't work. I said, sir, it can't be. I said, you didn't check it right. He said, oh, yeah, I checked it right. He said, it don't work. I said, but it can't fail. I got Mark 11:24, and it says He said, well, I don't care what you did, but he said, all I know is the flapper valve don't work. So I come back home, and I repented of all my sins, and I stand on that verse one more time. And I took her back in 2 months, and it don't work. I do this 5 times, 10 months, and it don't work. That 10th month when the doctor said, he said, well, this time it ain't never going to work. If it hasn't worked in 10 months, it ain't never going to work. I said, Doc, I do not receive that curse. You're trying to speak a curse on my granddaughter. I will not receive that for her. I am her spiritual authority, her grandfather. I said, I'm not receiving that curse in the name of Jesus. I said, I don't know what I've done wrong, but I've done something that God doesn't like. I don't know what it is. How many of you think you might do something every once in a while that God doesn't like? Well, I've come to realize I'm not beyond that point. I'll tell you for sure. And in this case here, I had done something he didn't like because he would not answer my prayer. And I prayed that prayer for 10 months over and over and over, and it didn't work. But after the 10th month, I brought her home and I said, Lord, I don't know what I've done wrong, but I've done something wrong. So I said, therefore I say unto you, therefore Jesus says unto me, Thurman, what thing soever you desire. Lord, I desire the flapper valve in Caitlin's throat to work. That's what I desire. He says, when you pray, not 2 months later when you take her back to the doctor, when you pray, believe. Uh-oh, that puts the whole thing in a different perspective. That puts me to a test now that I don't even want to think about. So that means that I pray and believe, and if I pray and believe with no doubt in my heart, what am I going to do? That if I pray and ask it to be fixed, and if I believe it's done, what do I need to do? I need to feed her. That's exactly right. But I'm thinking, Lord, what if I'm wrong? Well, it's real simple. The devil didn't miss that one. He says, it's real simple. She's going to die when you feed her. I mean, he was really helpful. No problem. She's going to die. Doesn't that sound just like the devil? No problem. You know, if you're wrong, she's going to die. Yeah, he was kind of egging me on. Yeah, just go ahead and feed her. Watch her die. Oh, you can't imagine the thoughts that come to my mind. But the Word says. That's where we're going to have to get, ladies and gentlemen, is to believe the Word of God. And so I desire that valve work in her throat. So when I pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. So I repented of all sin. I prayed that prayer one more time. I walked over to her house and I said, Toby, that was her daddy. I said, Toby, you got anything here for Caitlin to eat? He said, well, I've got some applesauce and an orange drink. I said, put it on the table. We're going to feed her. He said, Thurman, what are you talking about? I said, we're going to feed her. He said, Thurman, we just got back from the doctor 2 weeks ago, and the doctor told us after 10 months, 5 trips down there, that valve didn't work. I said, oh, Toby, it didn't work. And I said, it didn't work earlier this morning, but it works right now. He said, how do you know that? I said, the Word of God says that. Yes. Is that what it says?
Yes.
But, Thurman. I said, no, I don't want to hear no buts. I don't want to hear it. I said, Toby, didn't the doctor say she'd never live? Yes. I said, is she alive? Yes. Did the doctor say she'd never walk? Yes. Is she walking? Yes. Did the doctor say she'd never see again? Yes. I said, can she see? Yes. I said, don't you think it's time we finally, both of us, believe God? I mean, what else has he got to do to confirm that he's doing this? That he's alive and well. He said, okay. So he goes and gets the applesauce. I put it in a little bowl and set it on the table. I said, Caitlin, honey, she was in there playing with her dolls. I said, Caitlin, honey, come in here and eat this applesauce for Granddaddy. She hadn't eaten a bite in a year. Been a year since she's had a spoon in her mouth. She comes running in there, sits down at that table, grabs that little spoon and eats that little bowl completely empty of applesauce, drinks about half that bottle of juice, don't cough, gag, or nothing, sets everything down and runs back in there and starts playing with her dolls again. Well, by this time, Granddaddy is jumping up and down, screaming. Now, see, I mean, when you do something like that, when you tell somebody, if you want to see Jesus really show up, you repent of every sin, we take a scripture and pray the prayer of faith, and then you believe right there, it's done. Forget the doctor. You know what kind of faith that takes? It takes great faith. That's exactly right. But this kingdom, I've come to realize, this kingdom is not for wimps. If you're a wimp, just find you a good doctor, because you're going to need him. You know I was a wimp for most of my life. At least half or better of my life, I was a really big wimp. I worked for a Chevrolet house when I was a young boy. And I was putting an antenna on a new 59 Chevrolet car. I had to cut a 1-inch hole in it for the antenna to go through. And so I was going to dust the little pieces of stuff off the fender there, and one of them wasn't loose. It was stuck up. And so when I done like this, it hit right in the center of my finger and just ripped it out to the end. You know, not a big deal. I mean, that's a barely a Band-Aid this wound for me now. But in those days, I thought, oh, my goodness, I have ruined myself. Let me go to the doctor. So I go to the doctor, and he takes 6 stitches in my finger to sew it up. That was a wimp. This last year, I let a deal get loose from me over here on these doors. We was putting some doors, Bruce and I was putting some doors in. And it, when that spring come loose, that piece of steel that went to flopping around ripped my first finger of my left hand from the edge of the finger plumb to the end, ripped it just down to the bone, ripped the next one, and ripped the fourth one just right down. And just blood just went everywhere. I looked at it and said, I can't believe I done that. You know, of all these years, you'd think I'd be smarter than that, knowing that when that spring was wound, when I knocked that loose, that thing's going to come loose. And before I could get my hand out of the way, I mean, that thing, I mean, it just spun like that. It just tore my hand all to pieces, just pulverized it. So I just wrapped it up. Blood just going everywhere. You know, I just took a big old blue rag I had there and wrapped it. And Bruce said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to go to the house and Cheryl put some Band-Aids on it. He said, I'll drive you over there. So we get in the pickup, and he says, I think I'm going to pass out. I said, Bruce, pull over and let me drive. I said, you whip. He said, I'll make it, Thurman, I'll make it. I said, you better make it, because if you don't, I said, you know, we might have been a car wreck here, and I said, we're going to be in worse shape than me. I said, now, if you don't know you're going to make it, I said, you whip, get out behind that wheel, let me drive, I can drive. So he said, I can make it. So he did. He drove me over here, and I walked in, and Cheryl looked at it. She said, oh, my goodness, look at yours. I said, now, woman, I don't want to hear no unbelief out of you either. Is that what I said, honey? Yeah, I said, all I want you to do is wash it up real good, put it under the faucet, wash it real good and clean, put some, whatever you call that, peroxide. Yeah, I want you to pour a bunch of that on it, you know, to clean it out real good. And then I want you to put some big Band-Aids on it, you know, really. I said, then so I can go back to work. I got doors to install. And so she did. She did all that, put Band-Aids around them and everything. After she peroxided it and boiled it all out, put all them big old Band-Aids around and everything. And I said, okay, praise God, I'm ready to go back to work. So Bruce and I went back over and installed a door. No stitches. I said, Lord, what did the Lord say we could pray for? So I said, Lord, I done a dumb stunt, really done a dumb stunt. So I'm thanking you that my fingers are all still there. First of all, that you didn't cut one of them off, because that would have been, you know, I got to have faith to put it back on. I think, Scott, didn't you cut one off one time and you put it back on? Yeah, and it growed back, right, Scott? Yeah, so Mike, did you do that too one time? Mike did that too. He cut one off. See, these boys got faith. You know, I mean, it takes lots of faith when you get a finger cut completely off. Praise God, mine wasn't cut completely off. It just cut all the skin off of it, the meat, everything. But I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I want you to fix my fingers, and I don't want any scars of no kind. He was so gracious to me, and he healed everything. I got one little scar on top of this first finger. All the rest of them grew back without even a scar. He fixed, I mean, is he a good God?
Yeah.
And you know how much that cost me? Nothing. Just a little Band-Aid. A few little bandages. Yeah, we had to, Cheryl changed my bandage every day a couple times, you know, because it bled a whole lot. But see, that's standing in faith. Now, a few years ago, I cut that finger just a little bitty place that long, and they took 6 stitches in it. I mean, that wasn't even a mark compared to what happened to my hand. But I ain't going there. I'm not a wimp anymore. You know, I believe in God. And when I believe God, he made the promises in the book. He guaranteed me he would do these things. Did he not?
Yeah.
So when I believed him for Caitlin, he fixed the valve in her throat. And of course, 6 weeks later, I did take her back. We fed her every day, normal. I quit feeding her with that little hole in her stomach right that day after she ate that applesauce. And I fed her normal. Every day, morning, noon, and night, she ate 3 times a day, normal foods, just like we did, everything. No gagging, no coughing, no nothing, everything. But the doctor told us to bring her back at 12 months. We were there 10 months, so we 2 weeks later, I prayed the prayer of faith and God healed her. And then we took her down there at 12 months, and the doctor checked her, and he said, I would never have believed this. He said, that flapper valve is working perfect. You can start feeding her now. And I said, well, Doc, we started feeding her 6 weeks ago. He said, Mr. Scrivener, you are the craziest man I have ever seen in my life. Well, now see, what's the difference between me and him? He's trained himself with the physical things of the world, right? And I've trained myself with the spiritual things of the world. Is that right? So the spiritual things of the kingdom override the physical things of the world. But, you know, if you don't know this and learn how to walk in this, you're never going to be able to get these kind of things done. Just like these two testimonies we had today that these two wonderful girls had, you would never be able to see something like that if you didn't know the Word. Both those girls knew the Word. And you heard them talking both about standing on the Word. Did both of them talk about the Word? Yes. And they talked about using the Word and how they used the Word to make it work for them. And so it did work for them. And so now then this woman, which was on her way to hell, she's married and she's in remission and Sharon's got her GPS back. You know, so you just can't beat a deal like that, right? All happened because we knew the keys of the kingdom. Yeah, and do what, honey? Oh, and the kitty's, oh yeah, I'm going to tell just a little bit better. When I reached down, when I saw that kitty down in that fan, it, of course, it's an electric fan, thank goodness. It wasn't an engine-driven fan. It had to be to cut it all to pieces. But the fan, the engine, when it tried to, when it did start, but the electric fan, he got hung in there. And, of course, the fan is tight against him, and he can't get out. And so when I saw he was alive, Scott was holding a light with me, too. And so I reached down and through the fan deal and moved the fan blade back to take the pressure off of him. And when I did, well, he started coming out through them little slots. Well, as he came out, I got him about halfway out, and then I knew he was going to be wild. So I reached around behind him and got him like this. And his little legs are wrapped around that fan housing in there. And I think, if I pull him out, I'm going to break his legs. I said, Scott, I'm going to hold him right here, and you work his little legs down around. So Scott took his hands down there and began to work his little legs around. And as he got his little legs free underneath that thing, then I could just pull him right on out. And, of course, Scott took him and set him down on the ground, and he run off. So between the two of us, we got the little guy out of there, and he didn't even have a broken leg or nothing. So he's okay, so praise the Lord. So I hope he leaves and goes far away so we don't have that problem again. I hate to see a little critter. I hate to see a little critter like that get all tore up like that. But meditate just for a second on that Mark 11:24. Look at that. That's a promise to you. Now, almost nobody today believes these kind of promises. Because Jesus said, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now then, first of all, the very first thing you notice that Cheryl did, said, everybody that knows these principles, before you pray, what should you do? You should confess your sin. You should make sure that your sins are remitted. You should make sure that you're walking in obedience to His Word and that there's no unconfessed sin, no unforgiveness or nothing in your life. Because if you have any kind of sin in your life, when the Lord says, I will not hear your prayer if you come to me with sin in your life. Well, now, what does that mean? Do you want Him to hear your prayer? Yeah. Boy, I want Him to hear mine. And so when I pray, I want to make sure my sins are confessed. And so therefore, if my sins are confessed and everything's forgiven, when I pray, then I can believe it's done. Now, just like my hand, I believed it was done. I knew there was not going to be a problem. You know, that's just like the other day. We went down here to take a mobile home apart. And as we were taking the porch apart, well, of course, the screws and boards and stuff, you know, old, you know, the stuff had been there for years. And so I got a pair of tennis shoes on. I'm trying to pay attention. And I step over there like this, and I step on a board that had a nail about that long sticking through it. It went right through my tennis shoe, right into my foot. Well, when it went into my foot, you know, I mean, man, I don't take the pressure off. So I push my hand down to keep from, you know, and as I do, there's a great big old screw sticking there, and I stick it right through my hand, you know. So I think, okay, Lord, I don't know where I sinned, but I must have done something really rotten to get all this. But Lord, I repent of sin. But anyway, I did I picked the foot up and pulled a nail out, you know, with a board on it. And we turned it over where nobody else would do that. And then I looked at my hand, it's all bleeding and everything. And I said, okay, Lord, and what do you think the first thought was that came to my mind? That's exactly right. That's the first thing I thought about. You need to go get a tetanus shot. And I thought, now what? Oh, I guess that was God talking to me, right? That's what some people would say. That was the Lord. No, it wasn't the Lord. I didn't need a tetanus shot only if I'm living in unbelief. But that thought, just like Dave talks about the conscience today, that spirit is talking to me and it's coming from the enemy. You know, I'm hearing this thought. This is clear. You need to go get a tetanus shot. You ain't had one in 30 years. You sure need one. No. I do not need a tetanus shot. No, I am good. And I said, Lord, I thank you for healing my foot. It was sore for 2 or 3 days, you know, a little hard to walk on. Not too bad, but a little sore. But then my hand, it was sore than anything else. Every time I'd bump it, you know, it'd break that open again. But it didn't take but 3 or 4 or 5 days, and it was all healed up. So praise God, I'm one piece again, you know, so I'm able to go get no more cuts. Praise the Lord. Okay. You got to realize that this scripture means what it says, but when you pray, you got to believe it's done. You may not see the full manifestation of it right then, but it will happen if you pray and believe. Now, if you pray in unbelief or if you go to a doctor, and that's where nearly everybody goes. Now you alone, you and God knows where your faith is. You know, I mean, I've had many people come up for me to pray with them and say, what would you do if you was in my shape? I said, well, with my faith, I know what I would do. I would pray, and then I would first repent of my sins, and I would pray, and then I'd say, thank you, Lord, it's done. Would you take any medicine? Absolutely not. No. I don't take no medicine. I mean, how about an Anacin or an aspirin? Nope. I don't take nothing. You don't take medication? No, I don't take medication. I have not had any medication. I've no over-the-counter. In fact, I broke a tooth 4 or 5 years ago, and it bothered me. I stood in faith for a year, and I couldn't get the tooth healed. I don't know what I was doing wrong, but it was not healed. And so Sharon even come to me while I had this rotten tooth in here, the one I broke. And she said, Pastor, I was over to the doctor's office, the dentist's office, had my teeth cleaned, they x-rayed it. I got 2 teeth that needs a root canal. And she said, nope, I ain't going there. I'm going to have my pastor pray for me according to Matthew 18:9, and I'm going to have my root canals are going to be healed. So I didn't tell her about mine being broke. So she come in here and asked me to pray for her, and when I prayed, I said, is it done? She said, it's done, guaranteed. That's it. No questions asked. It's done. Well, obviously, 6 or 8 months later, when she went back to have her teeth cleaned again, the doctor says, well, Sharon, let's do those 2 root canals. She said, no, there ain't nothing wrong. And he said, no, Sharon, root canals don't get healed. You know, you have to grind them out and fix them. Oh, no. She said, my pastor prayed with me according to Matthew 18:19, and my teeth are healed. And so he said, well, let's x-ray. She said, I ain't paying for no x-ray. You know, said, you ain't going to get my money. If I tell anything wrong, you can correct me. But anyway, he said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll x-ray them. If there ain't nothing wrong with them, I'll pay for the x-ray. She said, well, okay, you can do the x-ray, but there ain't going to be nothing wrong with them. He x-rayed those 2 teeth, and there wasn't nothing wrong with those 2 teeth. She did not have to have a root canal. She come back and told me. But after that, I thought to myself, now, I prayed for this girl. You know, this don't sound fair, does it, girl? You know, I mean, I prayed for her. What does that tell you about her faith? It's greater than mine, right? I guarantee. She got hers healed. Sometimes I think hers and Cheryl's and all of them is greater than mine at times, you know. But anyway, after she got healed, I thought, okay, Lord, I have fought with this tooth now for been about 2 total years now. And at first when I tried to eat on it, man, it hurt. Oh, it got sore. And so I thought, well, I'll go in and have the dentist check it. And I went in and I said, what's the deal here? And he said, well, you got some infection in there. And he said, I couldn't pull it down if I wanted to. Said, it's broke, but said, you'll have to take some antibiotics. He said, I'll give you a prescription. And he said, come back in a couple of weeks and I'll pull your tooth. I said, okay. So I went out, I took the prescription. I went out and wadded it up, throwed it in the trash. I said, Lord, you said I could ask for anything, didn't he? Yes. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for taking away all that infection. I didn't know it was in there, but now it's gone because your word promises. So I'll go back in 2 weeks and let him pull my tooth. I went back in there and he looked at it and he said, oh yeah, all the infection's gone, no problem. So he just jerked it out, no problem. And I didn't want to have to lie to him. But I didn't tell him anything about the medicine. He just said, he assumed I took the medicine. Yeah. But he said, all the problem is gone. So he said, I'll just pull it. And so he did. He pulled the tooth. And so several times since then, I said, okay, Lord, I need a new tooth there. but it still ain't in there. You know, so I guess when I get the kind of faith these girls got, I'll get it someday. But I thought how strange that was that I prayed for her and she said, it's done. You know, Matthew 18:19 said, two of us agree, it's done. She said, I don't have a problem with no root canal. And she never has had to have a problem with those two teeth. They still are there and they're good. So, see, God knows the faith in your heart, doesn't he? So, if you start trying to stand for some of these things and you don't have much word in you, you're going to be in trouble. Because it's probably not going to work for you. You know, because, now, just think about Sharon now, since we're talking about her. It's just been a few years ago, 8 or 10 years ago, that Sharon had so many things wrong with her, she couldn't even drive her own car. But she didn't know how to walk by faith, did you, Sharon? Back in those days, she had no idea how to do it. See, she told me when she came to me the first time at a healing school, she said, I've never heard God's word taught like you teach it. But she said, I want you to know, I go to a huge church over in North Dallas. And she said, it's a big church. And she said, I've been prayed for over there at least 100 or more times with no results. Now, see, that's what happens to us, doesn't it? When we don't have real faith or we don't know the God's way. Well, my first question to Sharon was, Sharon, did you confess the sin that you committed? I said, how long you had the problem? 27 years. I said, well, 27 years ago, you committed some kind of sin. Did you ever confess it? I guess not. I said, well, you need to tell the Lord you're sorry. So she did. I said, then what scripture did you use to base your faith on? She said, do what? I said, what scripture? You got to use the word of God. I said, God watches over his word to perform his word, not my words. So she said, well, let's use this scripture. I said, okay, we did. And I said, now then, you've never been prayed for in faith. I'm going to pray for you in faith. I'm going to guarantee you in the name of Jesus, the King of the universe is going to heal you today when I pray for you. And Sharon was healed totally, completely that day of everything. She'd been sick for 27 years. Now, when we do it God's way, what does he do, Sharon? He does exactly what he promised, doesn't he? Yes, he did. But see, I tell you all of this to tell you that everything in God's Word that we're going to talk about today means what it says. It means what it says. Now we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 2 and start with verse 1. In Proverbs 2, we're going to see some of the things that God says will either kill you or give you long life. And you can have it your way, either way you want it. But I think I'll take the long life and the health. He says, my son, in Proverbs chapter 2, my son, if you will receive my words and hide my commands with you. Now then, this is a real secret of hiding God's word in your heart. Now, I love to brag on my little, I call her my granddaughter. Of course, she's not my granddaughter, but Kathy's Caitlin. You know, I got two Caitlins. One of them is mine that's really my granddaughter, and then the other Caitlin. They're both about the same age. My Caitlin's about 6 or 8 months older than Kathy's Caitlin. But, okay, 5 months, okay. But Kathy's Caitlin now has over 1,000 scriptures committed to memory. 14 years, just turned 14 this last week, yesterday. Had her 14th birthday yesterday and has 1,000 scriptures hidden in her heart. Now, I bet you there's not one of us in this room, including me probably, you know, that could sit here and quote 1,000 verses, and that little girl's 14 years old. Now, what did God say here? My son, if you will receive my words and hide my commands with you. Now, see, that's what she's doing. She's hiding those words in her heart. And what is it that made the difference in me when I began to hide these words in my heart? It changed the way I do it. And it did you too, didn't it, Sharon? It changed her life forever. And now, I mean, for the last 8 or 10 years, ever since she got healed, this girl has been in church every time the doors open. She's been in every healing school. She was in every Tuesday night Bible study. And this girl's in the Word on her own. And if she's in the Word, she's growing in such great faith. That's why she can pray for so many people. This is like the same way with Cheryl. She's growing in the Word, and she prays for people. And these two girls see awesome answers to their prayers. But not just them. Virtually everybody who works in the ministry does the same thing. They just happen to be right here today. Both give testimonies why I'm bragging on both of them. So that thou incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Now, if the scripture itself says, let me ask this question. How many of us in here think that we need wisdom? You notice I held up both hands. I really need a lot. I need wisdom. But the Word of God is very clear. If any man or woman, any person lacks wisdom, they should ask God, who gives liberally to all without finding fault. But when you ask, you must ask in faith. How much wavering?
None.
No wavering. There again, God, he ain't, not only is He not going to heal your body if you don't believe Him, He's not going to give you wisdom. That's what He's talking about in James chapter 1. If any man lacks wisdom, let's go to that verse in James chapter 1, verse 5, 6, and 7. And let me show you that, and then we'll come back here to Proverbs. James 1, 5, 6, and 7. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But, look, this is how you learn what God is like and how He does things. Because the average person don't see God like the Word shows him. But He says, but let him ask in faith. How much wavering?
None.
What does it mean, nothing wavering?
Zero.
Now, you know God's a loving God. He would never do me that way. But He says He will in His Word, won't He? Now, see, you ask people what they think about God, and what do they tell you? What they think about God. I mean, how would you get faith? Well, you know, I guess I could ask God. Do you believe He'd give it to you? Well, maybe. I hope He will. Maybe if it's His will. Hey, none of that lines up with the Word, is there, Sandra? Not any of it. I mean, when any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and God's going to give it to you liberally, but you have to have no wavering. Look what He says there. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Verse 7. For let not that man or person, man or woman, think that he or she shall receive anything from the Lord. Now, if you want something from God, how many of you, when you pray, would like to see God answer every time? Man, that's me too. I love it when He answers every time. Don't you, Michael? Yeah. In fact, the other day, Michael, after I got so tickled at him and Gracie, his lovely little bride, when he come up here to give his testimony about how that he was hurting, he was doing some mudding in the bathroom, and his back's killing him. And I think his wife was the one that mentioned, you know, we did learn that God says if two of us on earth agree about anything, He'll do it. And he says, you know, that's true. And so they stopped and repented of all sin, and they prayed the prayer of faith. And how quick were you healed, Michael? Oh, my goodness gracious. It was just a coincidence that it happened. Well, the other day, Michael's faith has grown so since he's seen his own self get healed, just with him and his wife doing what God said. The other night, they were here, and Scott was back here standing there with his back hurting him, and Michael said, well, let me pray for you. And he prayed, and what happened? What happened to Mike's back? I mean, to Scott's back?
He got healed,
too. Oh, my goodness gracious. Now then, oh, I know all this is just a coincidence. You know, just happened that the instant you prayed, your back quit hurting. No, you ain't never going to believe that no more, are you? Isn't it amazing? When we start doing things God's way, does He show up?
Yes.
Yes, He shows up. But for let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. When you don't believe, when you have just a little bitty bit of doubt, what's going to happen? According to the Word, you ain't going to get nothing. Is that what He said? Well, do you know why you hear me when I pray for you say, now, I guarantee it's done. How many of y'all heard me say, I guarantee? Why do you think I say that? Because if I say, well, maybe it'll happen. Paula, what if I pray for you and say, well, Paula, I hope that God's listening. Maybe. Do you hear any faith in that? You better not need very much because you ain't going to get much, are you? No. In other words, if Dave tries to pray for you like that, you might as well, come get me to pray for you, right? But you're going to pray for her in faith when you pray for her, right, Dave? Absolutely. That's what we're going to do. We need to learn in the church to start doing things in faith. And how are we going to do it if we don't hide this wonderful Word in our heart? You know, as I was talking to Kathy, her daughter, Caitlin, when she was talking about this 1,000 verses, Kathy was telling me that she teaches a little group of children, young girls, and she said, Pastor, I have some little girls in my class that's as young as four that already have 50 verses committed to memory. Now, what, I mean, if that one little woman, Kathy, if she keeps teaching them little girls, we're going to have an army of little girls out there that knows what they, who they are in Christ, right? If you get a four-year-old that already knows 50 verses, you know, that puts all of us probably in this church to shame. You know that? It really does. 50 verses. And, of course, when it comes to 1,000, oh, my goodness gracious. You know, whenever I make a statement, you know, I say, you know, I quote my favorite first 100 verses. And somebody wrote me a letter the other day and said, would you write down your favorite 100 verses and send them to me? I wrote back and told him, no, because my favorite 100 would be different than my favorite 100 tomorrow. I said, so I may speak a healing school and I may speak scriptures for four solid hours. And some of y'all have seen me do that, right? Call four things. But you come to the one next month and it ain't going to be just like the one last month. I use different verses. I don't use the same thing. So I don't have a given favorite 100. I got a favorite 100 this Saturday, and then next month, some of them may be different. I may use 10 or 20 of those over again, but I may use a lot of them totally different. So I don't know how many scriptures I got hidden in my heart. I really don't know how to count them, but I got a few. And I wished I had 10 times as many, I'll tell you for sure. Because if I don't believe God, if I have any doubt in my heart, I'm not going to get anything from the Lord according to Scripture. And so that's what's wrong with us today. We don't know Scripture. You know, I just think about the other day, there was a group of atheists that was invited to speak on a radio show. And it was only atheists. You know, they had a half a dozen of these guys that are all up there saying, there is no God. You know, I mean, everything, you know, there's a scientific answer for everything. There is no God. And I thought, you know, what is wrong with this picture when we take a half a dozen Christians and they start talking about something, they say, equal time, we need equal time, we want these atheists on there. I thought, I'd love to have been on there with those six guys. Yeah, I don't need six, I just need one. Just me. Me and Jesus is a majority in any group. You know that? You and Jesus is a majority. When you're tested like that, the Lord says, don't even worry about what you're going to say. Because the Spirit of God that lives in you, He'll talk through you. He'll talk through you. And so all you got to do is say, open my mouth, Lord, and let it come out. And I guarantee, in other words, if you don't believe that Jesus is real, you ought to just hang around and see what happens at the Living Savior Ministries in 1 week. I mean, we see people get healed, everything. And, you know, we get all kinds of requests to pray for people. And some of the things, like Dave tells me often. Of course, he went to Oral Roberts University, worked on his master, nearly graduated with a master. He quit just short of his master's. But he's told me many times that the way I deal with people, he said, you would never pass your pastoral care class. He said, there ain't no way. Just like, for instance, I had somebody write me just recently and said, we got a baby that's sick, and we want you to come pray for the baby. And so they said, my daughter, it's not her baby, it's her live-in boyfriend's baby. Wow. Oh, it is her baby. It's not his baby, though, right?
No, it's his baby. It's their baby.
Oh, but it's... Oh, it is their baby. Oh, he's the father and she's the mother. Okay, but they're not married. They're not living, and they are living together. He wants to get married, and she don't want to get married. And so they want to know what they need to do. I told them, I said, the first thing you got to do is both of them's got to stop sinning. They got to stop having sex together. I guarantee, I said, if they want that baby to die, just keep living together. I said, you're breaking God's rule, and He is judging you. And, I mean, the average church member don't no more believe that than they can fly without them wings. But when I tell them, I said, read the story in 2 Samuel 12 about King David. How many of y'all have ever heard the story about King David committed adultery with Bathsheba? We've heard that story? And what happened to the baby? It was carried full term, and then it was born, and then the baby got sick. And it died in a week. And who did it say killed the baby? The what? It says the Lord did that? But you know, God's a loving God. He would never kill a little baby. But he did, didn't he? You've read it. How many of you have read that story? I mean, you know I'm telling you the truth, right? And the scripture clearly says, and the Lord struck the child with sickness and it died in 1 week. And so then the curse didn't stop there either, did it? Then the prophet came in and said, now David, because of your sin. Now can you imagine him putting that bony finger in my face? Because of your sin, looking at me, saying your sin, because of your sin, now all these other children you got by all these other wives, he had several wives, said your children are now going to rape each other, they're going to kill each other because of your sin. Somebody, and then the wives, all the women that you have that are wives, although they didn't do anything wrong, I'm going to have those women raped on the housetops and the street corners for everybody to see, so that what you done in secret, I will do openly. Now, let me tell you what. If a man reads the Word of God and learns that God is like that, if he would go out and commit any kind of adultery with a woman he ain't married to, he's got a loose screw up there somewhere. You know that? If he would do something like that, and it would cause the baby that he brought into the world to die, to never have a chance, and then the children he'd already brought in that are grown, they start killing each other and raping each other and murdering each other, and then the wives that you had, that you loved, that had all your children for you, they were going to get beat up on by men on the street corners and raped. If that, you thought that was going to happen to your entire family, if you got a brain, you wouldn't do that, would you? But King David did that. If God's like that, the scripture says, in fact, in Hebrews 13:8, I'm not going to quote that. I'm going to ask them to put it on the board. And I want you to see what Hebrews 13:8 says. Dave loves Hebrews, but look at Hebrews 13:8. Look at this. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So is he the same back when he did what he did to King David as he is today?
Yeah.
There's no difference in God, is there, sir? He don't ever change. So if God tells us what he will do, that's just like I was in the bank the other day, and the little lady behind the counter there said, would you talk to this one lady? I didn't know who she was. Said, would you show Thurman that picture? And so I didn't know what she was talking about. She showed me a picture on her phone, and it's a little baby. I said, oh, little baby. I said, what's wrong with it? She said, it passed away. I said, that little baby died? And she said, yes. I said, was it your daughter's baby or what? Because she looked like her grandmother, you know. And she said, well, no, it wasn't my daughter's baby. It was my granddaughter's baby. I said, oh, I said, gee, well, I said, how's her and her husband taking this? Well, she said, she's not married. And I thought, wow. I thought, wow. And so I didn't say anything. I didn't know the lady. I just turned back to do my business at the window with the girl. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, do you believe every time something bad happens to us, it's because of sin? I said, absolutely. I mean, the scripture clearly says that if we obey God, that nothing will happen to us. Isn't that something? So I said, you know, yes. I said, that baby died because of that woman's sin and the man's sin. That's why the baby died. It's just like David and Bathsheba. In fact, this little girl at the teller, she says, Mr. Scrivener, you know God's a loving God. He would never hurt anybody. I said, it's obvious, honey, you have not read the Bible. Oh, yes, she said, I have read the Bible. I said, let me go back to the beginning of the Bible. In the first 1,000 years, it says, in the intent of every person on the earth was evil continuously, except one man and his family, a total of 8 people. I said, what did God do to that group of people that lived that first 1,000 years? She said, well, there was a great flood. I said, so who caused the flood? Wow, she said, I guess God had to do that, didn't he? I said, yes, ma'am, I guess God had to do that. So I said, right there, the very first 1,000 years, God killed every human being on this earth because of sin. Is that right? I mean, when you can let and there must have been millions of people. I mean, for people to have people, and they didn't die. You know, can you imagine how many children you could have? If you start having children at 40 or 50 or 60, and you're married to a woman and you're 800 or 900 years old and y'all still having kids? Can you imagine how many kids you could have in a period of time like that? You know, hundreds of them maybe. You know, wow. You know, that's awesome. But you know, you never think about that. You know, they could have had hundreds. Is that true? You know, I mean, it's not like having two or three. They didn't deteriorate like we do, you know, and change. God had not changed that. So, you know, I mean, just think when you think, no, nobody can have a child at 500 years old. Yeah, how old was Noah when he had his sons? 500 years. Yeah, him and his wife got married and they had the sons 500 years old when he had his first ones. Wow. So you see what I mean? We could have all kinds of children out there. So, but anyway, I just told the young lady, I said, yes, honey, I absolutely, completely convinced that when the Word of God says sin brings forth death, that's what brings forth death. That's why we die. I said, that's why all of us die. I said, have you ever seen somebody that really took good care of themselves? In fact, I thought about the gentleman from Lubbock that comes out here every once in a while. And I was talking about this in a healing school. And this gentleman stood up and he said, you know, Mr. Scribner, can I say something? And I said, yes, sir. He said, I am 90 years old, and said, until I was 88 years old, I never had a sick day. I had my first sick day at 88. He said, I was raised in a home where my mother and father taught me to walk in total obedience to God's word. And he said, I've been hiding the scripture in my heart. He said, we're fixing to leave here, and we're going to go to Europe for a month vacation. And when they went and came back, he was 91 years old, and he'd had a birthday while he was gone. And he came back to another healing school, and he said, we walked all over Europe. And he said, I'm 91. I thought, wow. And he didn't look like he's 60. He looked young. You know, so I think, you know, now then, if you see somebody, I had a couple here from New Mexico here a while back, and they were both extremely sick. And as I met... ministered to those two, that couple, I learned they had been married, divorced a couple of times. They had both been on drugs and alcohol. They had done all kinds of things. I mean, it was amazing the things that was wrong with them. And I finally thought, they're so old. I wonder how old they are. I thought, well, they got to really be a bad 70 or something. You know, I mean, you know, I'm 73 and I don't think I look that old, you know, But anyway, they looked. I said, so how old are you two? He said, I'm 48 and she's 45. And I guarantee they would pass for 90. You know, they would easily pass for 90 years old. But they had lived a rugged, sinful life. What does sin do to you? It kills you. Yeah, it kills you. And so the scripture says that. So, you know, if you want to... And I think everybody wants to, but the Proverbs is going to show us that if we go back to the book of Proverbs. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then he says, so that thou incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. In other words, if you seek this wisdom we're talking about, if you believe in your heart, Lord, I need wisdom today. Whatever you're going to do today, I don't care what you're going to do. You're going to fly an airplane somewhere. You're going to build something, whatever. In fact, I always ask the Lord, Lord, protect me, keep me safe. And yesterday, I needed to go down to the Brownwood area for a little while to see my nephew. And so I went out to the airport, jumped in my airplane, and I said, Lord, keep me safe. I always know there's lots of airplanes around here in the Metroplex. So, Lord, you know, so I take off out of there, and I fly around the Metroplex, and I don't see a single airplane nowhere. Saturday afternoon, or Saturday about noon, this before noon, I don't see a single airplane. I fly out, so I think, well, you know, I won't get flight following. I usually always, when I take off, I call a controller and get flight following where they know where I am so they can warn me of other airplanes. But I thought, well, today's Saturday. I don't see anybody flying, and so I won't even bother. And so I just take off, and I fly about 3,000, 3,500 feet till I get past the rings down at Weatherford. When I get down to Weatherford, I think, well, you know, I would go up to 4,500, be a little bit cooler. It wasn't too hot at 11 o'clock yesterday morning, but it was warm. So I went up to 4,500. Now, I'm going that direction. And anytime you're going from south all the way back around to north, going that way, you're supposed to fly even altitudes plus 500 feet. Now, if you're flying that direction, anything that's from north to south, that way you're supposed to fly odd altitudes plus 500 feet. So if you're going this way and somebody's coming this way, you're always got a 1,000-foot separation. So you don't have to worry about running together. I'm flying 4,500 feet, got my autopilot engaged. I'm right on, and I'm looking down at my map, you know, to see exactly. Of course, I got a GPS that tells me exactly, but I'm looking down at my map. You know, I'm flying along there at 4,500 feet at 200 miles an hour, and I look down at the map. You know, I look out there, and you know, I don't see nothing. But at 200 miles an hour, you cover ground in a hurry. You know that? And so I look down at my map, just in my seat, laying in the seat beside me for maybe 45 seconds, maybe. And then I look up, and just as I look up, I have never seen an airplane this close to me in my life. But there was one right there going about 150 miles an hour going that way. And when I looked up, a white streak as he went by, and I guarantee I wasn't 200 foot from that guy. I have never, and boy, 200 foot at that speed, they look close. I ain't never, and of course, you're driving down the road at 60 miles an hour and pass somebody 3 feet. And you don't think nothing of that. But I know that guy didn't see me, and I know I didn't see him until he was. I didn't even have time to move. I just left it right where it was because I knew I'm already safe. Whew. I thought to myself, I guess really I should have got flight following. You know, at least, you know, when you get flight following, you know what the guy does. Of course, this is what they do. Dave, and he knows, he goes with me a lot, and we nearly always get flight following. And all of a sudden, a guy will come on and he'll say, Mooney 95442, you have another airplane about your altitude headed or at the 2 o'clock position coming your direction. And he'll tell you, you know, that he's, you know, somewhere. If he knows what his altitude is, he'll tell you. Sometimes they don't, but he'll just tell you where he is. And he'll say he's 10 miles. Well, let me tell you what. If you've ever been up there in an airplane and you're looking at a white airplane against a white cloud, and he's 10 miles away. If you can see him, you sure got better eyes than I got, I guarantee you. Dave's got much better eyes than me, and he can't see him either. But a lot of times, if you get within 2 miles of them, you can see them. But if you're further than 2 miles from them, it's hard to see it. You know, if you're 10 miles away, I mean, I can be coming into an airport that's got a mile-long runway. That's long, 5,000 feet. If I'm 10 miles out, I can't even see the runway yet. You know, so that just goes to show you, you know, how far you can see. But yesterday, that guy come flying by me, and as he did, my first words out of my mouth were, "Thank you, Lord, for my prayer of safety." Do you realize that 200 miles an hour and probably 150 on his part, that's 350 mile an hour closure speed. And if that guy had been just a degree over, or if I'd have been just a few feet over this way, if I hadn't, when I saw him, if I hadn't seen him, if he hadn't looked up, if we'd have hit head on, do you know what they'd have found? Pieces. But it's obvious God's not through with me yet. Amen. And of course, when I pray and ask the Lord for divine intervention, I know that until he's through with me on this earth, there ain't nothing can touch me. You've heard me make that statement several times. I know when it's my time to go, I'm going to go. And he may take me out in an airplane. I don't know how he's going to do that, but I don't care how he does it, but I don't want him to take me out until it's my time. You know, I just don't want to go until it's my time. And I've got a lot of things I want to do yet. I'm not ready to go yet. So I'm not in a hurry to get to heaven because I'm going to be there a long time, you know, so I ain't worried about it. But I do enjoy living. But verse 3 and 4. Yea, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, cry out for it. Some people I've seen in church that have never asked God for any kind of direction and help during the course of the day. I'll tell you girls something that if y'all will listen to this prayer, my wife learned this, and she, when we first got married, you know, Cheryl made that statement, y'all have all heard me say this before, that she, before she knew me as her husband, she looked up one time and said, you know, I wonder what it would be like to be married to the perfect man, because she thought I was a perfect man, you know. She only knew me, you know, from out there. You know, and then God brought her to me and we got married, and then she found out what it's like to be married to that guy that's a diamond, but he's got a lot of rough edges on him. Y'all know where I'm coming from? How many of you girls in here that are married got a husband that's got some rough edges on him? Oh my goodness, y'all not telling the truth. Lord, forgive them for lying. Yeah, but you girls need to learn that when you, this diamond that you got, he's not perfect yet. He's, the Lord's still working on him just like he is me. It does not do any good to grumble and complain about that guy. Is that right? It doesn't help a thing, but whenever he doesn't do everything just like you want to, you go to your Father in heaven and say, Lord, soften my husband's heart, make him more like Jesus. Now then, that's a good prayer for every woman to hear. Lord, soften my husband's heart and make my husband more like Jesus. And if that woman prays in faith, what's God going to do to mine and your heart? He's going to soften our heart, make us more like Jesus. And then we're going to be easier to live with our wives, right? And so that's, mine's learned that. Boy, she uses that on me often. She's really learned that. But he says, cry out for knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding. Well, that's what we're talking about today, to get this stuff. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures. This is what you want to do for wisdom. I mean, knowledge, understanding. You want to pray diligently every day. Father, in the name of Jesus, I need wisdom today to do the things I need to do. Lord, I want you to show me. I want you to give me understanding and knowledge so that I can do all things. Cheryl and I was riding along. We was going to go get a sandwich one day this week, and I told her, I looked over at her and I said, honey, I am so grateful to God. I mean, I am so grateful. We were over there working on a trailer, getting it ready for Jeff and his son to move into. And I said, honey, I'm so grateful to God for the knowledge he's given me. I'm able to hook up the air conditioners. I'm able to build those things. I can do the plumbing work on them. If I want to go get my own airplane and fly somewhere, if I want to fix my own airplane, I have an A&P license. I can do that. If I want to drive a car, a truck, build a building, or anything, I can do it because I have cried out for this wisdom and knowledge that only God has. And he has blessed me with it. He has blessed me with it. Now then, I know some guys that never cry out for knowledge, never cry out for wisdom. They just get up in the morning and go to work, and they never pray, they never talk to God, and they wonder why they never accomplish or accumulate nothing in their life. But yet if you pray, Lord, I need wisdom. I mean, just like the prayer of Jabez, you know. All those men were just doing their normal thing. And Jabez said, Lord, increase my space, you know, give me more. And it says, and God heard his prayer and did it. Now, none of the rest of them did. Nobody got anything but Jabez. And Jabez, his territory was increased with grade because he asked God. So if God will do that for Jabez, guess what he'll do for you and me? Same thing. If we pray and seek him, you know, we plead with him. We seek for this understanding. We seek for this wisdom. We seek for this knowledge. We, like we're digging for silver and searching for her as for hidden treasures. Just think. I have a backhoe. But if somebody were to tell me, Thurman, we've lost the map, but on your 100 acres of land here, somewhere on your 100 acres of land, at about 20 feet under the ground, years ago, we hid $5 million in gold bullion. We just don't know where, but it's somewhere on that 20, on the 100 acres you own. I'm telling you what, I would start right in the middle, and I would start digging a 20-foot hole until I found that. If I may have to dig plumb to the edge, but if they get $5 million, that's a lot of money, isn't it? But see, if I knew there was $5 million buried under this ground, I would dig for it. Oh, yeah, pray first. Yeah, that's the first thing. You don't never do anything without prayer. And, of course, if you had a woman like Cheryl, see, and we're going to dig, she says, honey, have you prayed yet? Well, no, as a matter of fact, I haven't. She said, well, let's pray. And so either that or I dig for 2 days, you know, and then I got dirt everywhere. And she comes and I said, well, did you pray? And I said, no, I did not. She said, let's pray. After we prayed, she said, you know, I believe it's right down here, right over here. Let's go back over here, dig right there. And I dig right there in one hole and I find it. See, now, isn't that amazing what you can do? The Holy Spirit will show you all these things after you pray. He would let you dig this entire place up, the whole 100 acre, 20 foot deep, and never find it. And it'd be in the last little corner, which you said, well, I give up. It's not here. We only like 10 foot being to the fence and we hadn't found it, so it ain't here. But yeah, that's where it's at, right there. Isn't that amazing? But if you don't dig for it as for treasures, you're never going to have this wisdom and knowledge and understanding that God wants you to have. But he doesn't. Have y'all noticed how God doesn't make it just real simple. He doesn't just let you be born, and then he doesn't just take a little funnel and let you grind up some big books and pour those in your head and then put a little Band-Aid over the top and you're the smartest kid in the world. He don't do that, does he? You have to dig for it, don't you? You have to work at it. That's exactly right. Now let's go to verse 5 and 6. Then shall you understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Just like that story I told you a while ago about David, about that baby that died and all of his sons and daughters killing each other and raping each other and his wives being raped. Where do you think I learned that story? Reading 2 Samuel. It's in there. And if God worked like that then, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, he never changes, will he do the same thing today? Yes, he will. And we don't believe that. I mean, the average church member does not believe these things. And I just stand in awe. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. And there's no place else in the world to get it other than from God. Verse 7 and 8. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous, but he is a buckler to them that walk. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgments and preserveth the way of his saints. I don't know about you, but I kind of like everything on that page. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. In other words, do you and me want sound wisdom? Oh my goodness gracious, yes, I want sound wisdom. I want to be able to do things and do it right. He is a buckler or a shield to them that walk uprightly. In other words, if he's my shield, that means just like Psalms 91 says, the devil can shoot them fiery darts at me all he wants to, but the shield of faith will protect me, right? They can't hit me. They can bounce off of my shield, but they can't hit me as long as I walk in obedience to God's word. He keeps the paths of judgment and preserves the way of his saints. Wow. Verse 9 and 10. Then shall thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity. Yes, every good path. When wisdom entered into your heart and knowledge is pleasant unto your soul. I tell you what. I'd like to ask you a question. How many of you believe that you can spend 10 hours a week watching secular television and gain more knowledge and wisdom than you had today? You don't think you can? That's like a young man the other day I had here. And I said, son, you need to be in the Word. That's your problem. He said, well, I have troubles reading and understanding the Word. I said, well, then get a bunch of my CDs and DVDs and listen to them. That way you don't have to read. You can hear. I said, you can watch it on a TV set. He said, well, I just can't seem to learn anything like that. I said, let me ask you one more question. He's sick. I said, do you watch television at all? Well, yes. I said, how many hours a week do you think you watch TV? He said, well, probably 10. Okay. I said, if you have trouble understanding what you're hearing, why do you watch that stupid television set? I said, you're getting something from it, but it's not helping you at all. You will find nothing on the television set, especially if it's not Christian. Now, you may find something that can help you on some Christian television station, but there's only three or four of them around. You know, there's hundreds of these stupid ones, you know, perverse ones. Unbelievable. I mean, every time I turn mine on, I bought a TV set here a couple of years ago to put in my office just to watch the news on once in a while and just to kind of get an idea of what's on the TV set. And I just stand in awe of the shows that they got on television today. I think, my lands, you talk about wicked. I can't possibly... Well, I've made this statement many times too. I guarantee if you watch TV even 1 hour a week, a secular show, just one. Maybe it's, I don't know if Wheel of Fortune still on. I don't know if it's on or not. I don't know what it is on. Somebody said, I mean, I remember people used to that I knew that used to love to watch that Wheel of Fortune. But even if you watch that show, and best I remember, it was a pretty clean show. It wasn't too bad. But if you spend 1 hour a week watching Wheel of Fortune, you will never walk in the fullness of God's anointing if you just share yourself with the world just that much. If you want to walk in God's anointing and see God answer your prayer, if you're not watching something Christian on the TV, you need to turn it off. And like I say, I turn it on sometimes, maybe two or three times a week, to try to catch the weather, especially if we're going to go somewhere. Or I've got something, a project going on that might, the weather may have a bearing on it. But since I've learned that I really have power and authority over the weather anyway, you know, I don't have to worry about that. I mean, I think about how many times I've done this, and Scott and Kim was telling me the other day they were overdoing something, and there was some guy said, you know, y'all need to get off your mowers and quit this. And she said, we have dominion and authority. And I think Scott said, Lord, we just need an hour. One more hour, we'll be totally through with this. And so we want to get this yard mowed so we can be out of here. And so the guy's out there saying, you know, it's lightning, it's going to rain, y'all need to get off your mowers. And they said, no, we have dominion. And he thinks, these people are crazy. And so they go ahead and mow, get all done, get their mowers loaded, get the door closed, and what happens? The rain came. Ain't that amazing? Now then, if you know your authority like they do, and you can pray like that, God hears your prayer, he withheld that rain till y'all finish your project. That's pretty awesome. When you get your mowers in, get the door closed, and it starts raining just as you get in the car, in the truck, I think, wow. But now see, they have dug and sought for this wisdom. It didn't come easy, did it? You have to apply yourself to get this. But if you believe God and you get in his word and you hide his word in your heart, it will build trust in him. And when you pray, you will be able to pray in faith, nothing wavering. Right, young lady? And when you pray in faith, nothing wavering, what's God going to do? He's going to show up. That's exactly right. Sir, when God shows up, do you like it? I love it when he shows up to answer my prayer. I guarantee you I do. I love it. How about you, brother? You love God to answer your prayer? There's only one way to get it done. His way. He is the king, isn't he? Wow. I can't believe it. It's already 10 minutes after 4. I knew that whenever Dave preached so long a while ago, I should have just stuck him. You know what? Dave gets, he's probably spends 5 or 10 minutes. And I thought, you know, that'd make a good Baptist sermon. You know, we ought to just take up an offering and go home. When Dave gets through preaching, that's a good Baptist sermon. So praise God. But one of these days, if I ever turn him loose, oh, my goodness gracious, we'll be here all day. He's learning the word, too. So, Father, we praise you and thank you for your word. We thank you for this book of Proverbs. We thank you for your whole book, Lord. All of your word is such a wonderful, awesome book. And Lord, I thank you that you showed us what pleases you and what does not please you. And if we want to get our prayers answered, we have to do it your way. So Lord, thank you for showing us your way. And thank you, Lord, for helping us to walk uprightly before you. So when we pray, you just love to answer our prayer for us. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for all the answers to prayer. We thank you for everything you do for us. And Lord, as I was talking about my grandbaby, Caitlin, a while ago, Lord, I just want to thank you one more time for the wonderful thing you did for her and how you raised her up. And now then, she's down the last 2 or 3 weeks. She's been down with her other grandparents down in Arkansas and Georgia. And Lord, I guess she's coming home next week. I ask you to give them all a safe trip as they come home. Lord, thank you for her. But thank you for each one of my loved ones, Lord, all of them. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us, keeping us all safe from evil, blessing us, giving us knowledge, wisdom, revelation, and understanding, Lord. The scriptures is talking about seeking this, and Lord, help us to seek you this week so we'll be able to do the wonderful things we can do. And with you, God, nothing is impossible. So thank you, Lord, for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen.